Well, welcome everyone to InferenceSwap.com and InferenceSwap Radio. My name is John Pappas, and welcome to another episode of Table Talk. We are live today with a special guest named Radon Haskins, and we wanted to talk to Radon and interview him because Radon is this young emerging leader amongst Chi Alpha, which is Assembly of God U.S. Missions for Colleges, and also a part of a diversity community within the Assemblies of God that are helping fund diverse people to get out on the field. And therefore, Radon is also in the middle of a lot of stuff. He is witnessing and discipling all different people groups. He is friends with all different kinds of people groups, if you want to start classifying people, which I hate doing. But Radon finds himself in the unique position to be in the middle of a lot of stuff, a lot of different kind of people with a lot of different opinions going on, and he's sifting and navigating through that. Radon is married to Kim. I still ask myself why she said yes, but she did. And they just have a beautiful new daughter. How old? 7 months?
7 months.
Raya.
Yeah.
Raya.
Yeah.
And she definitely is beautiful like her mom. that's me giving Radon a hard time, but I'm just so glad to have Radon here today. Radon, thanks for taking the time to come out and talk to us. With everything that's going around, we find that there's a lot of emotions. We talked a little bit earlier last week and had some recording issues, but things seem to be at that time a lot more, what do you call it, like inflammatory. I mean, really violent and rioting and craziness happening all over the country. Today we're talking, it seems like a little more peaceful tone is being set. And the one thing that never fires out is everybody who's a scholar on Facebook and Twitter. And we see that happening, which drives me nuts, bro. But with all that emotion surrounding all of that, man, where are you today on all that's happening?
So I had a little Skype meeting with the guy I work under and work with, Derek Britt. And one of the things about being in the body of Christ is that even when, like, you know, stuff that is not just happen, and you're like, man, we got to go do, where's the freaking trial?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can forget that. You can forget how good Jesus is and how he is redeeming humanity through his son's, resurrection, not just his death, but his resurrection. I think we forget about the resurrection part, like to new life, like the Romans 6, right? Romans 6, Colossians and all that.
Sure.
And so he kind of brought me back to a focus of Jesus is the better. And he always was. And the way of Jesus is that he will bring justice, but the way he gonna do it is it's gonna be different than what we've been seeing on both sides. So, you know, rioting and looting, and then on the other side of everybody runs to their political corners. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. Yesterday we had our missional community meeting here in the neighborhood, which is the second one we've had since the COVID pandemic, which rioting and looting has just forgotten about and made us forget about a little bit. So we actually had some new neighbors and children. By children, I mean up to like high school, 15-year-olds over. But one of the things that we talked about was the doctrine of man versus the eternal truths that are found in Jesus, and we know those truths not because they're like theory in a sky or some weird spirituality that's like a Shunda kind of a thing. It's his feet were on the ground, and so we know what God is like because of him, and we know that Jesus went to the woman at the well, that he went to Zacchaeus, who was not a popular guy, and Matthew, the tax collector, and so on. So we see that Jesus,
right?
Go ahead.
I said the centurion, the slave, the guy who was oppressing, the people that were supposed to take over the world.
And coincidentally, it was all the people that the religious people absolutely hated, absolutely despised. And I only bring that up to say, like, God has a way of showing us through Jesus how to deal in these situations.
Yes.
And I think the church itself, while there's so many great things in it, has fallen short or forgotten the necessity to sit across a table with somebody because they're different or because they don't look like us or whatever stupid ism you want to bring to it. Like, and yeah. We just start talking to each other and we fall back to the doctrines of man and then they get brought into the body.
Yeah.
And I see you as somebody who has had to deal with that from all angles. And how is it? What's that been like?
It's been, we talked over the phone a couple of days ago and you prayed for me, man. And that really, that put some stuff in perspective again. but it's been tough because, like, I'm trying to stay in the middle and I'm trying to be like Jesus. And, like, you know, on one hand, you got the Father, right? And what the Father's trying to do. And then on the other hand, you got culture. And, like, being in the middle, I'm trying to bring the culture to the Father. And so,
as if he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Right.
and it's been hard because I'm a part of some of these cultures. It's like, I come from an African-American community. I understand the hurt that they feel. But at the same time, I'm like, those hurts and those feelings that they have, I have to, like, explode them with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God.
Why? Why do you think you have to do that?
Because if I'm not careful, some of the eternal truths in the kingdom, like walking in forgiveness, like walking in love, like walking in a place of, like, I'm a son of God, and because I'm God's boy, anything and everything, like, you used to teach us this in young adults ministry. Anything and everything that the Father has access to, I have access to. And so I don't have those truths along with my culture, what I can do is if I don't look through God's kingdom culture at my culture, even though I'm a part of my culture, I can become bitter. I can become unforgiving. I can have hatred in my heart that I look at other people, other cultures who have had towards us. And eventually history repeats itself. The history of the oppressed becoming the oppressor, and this is a big circle. And I believe that Jesus, what he does is he steps in as the oppressed, as a Jewish man under Roman government, and then through the ways of the kingdom, helps usurp the ways of the world, but also brings them into an understanding of him saying, I understand your pain, I understand your hurt, but come sit down at this table and come feast at my table because this is where you accept it, all of you. And we can work through that stuff. And so that's what I've been trying to wrap my brain around and continuously reminding myself of those truths, man.
One of the things I was encouraged about, and I sent you a picture, and was I was sitting there talking to about 20 kids, all ages. Yes. I'm talking from 5 to 18. And their parents were around a little bit. But I asked them, do you understand what's going on? And where's God in all of that? You know?
Yeah.
You get a lot of answers, but I was encouraged that these suburban kids understood that the issue's a real issue. And they were adamant that this is wrong. This right. should not exist. And then we talked a little bit how the cross binds us together.
Yeah.
And because if I look at you or I look at me and we're completely different people, let alone skin color, whatever that means. But you have issues you're working through. I have issues I'm working through. And we got to take them to the cross, man. And that's what binds us together. It's those weaknesses that bring unity through God's love. And while we were sinners, he loved us. He didn't wait for us to clean up and then go, okay, you're good now. You know, you don't need my sacrifice now, you know.
hey, no, man, that ain't true. I've kept the commandments, and then I believed in the sacrifice.
And we'll hold you to them. You don't want that.
No, but that'd be brutal.
I think that's the message that's lost right now in this world. And, you know, like, I think we have to do a better job as a religious community for more voices to be heard than just hierarchical structures, for more, for the gospel to be proclaimed so it can be united. So we have some kind of common ground.
Yeah.
If we dismiss the eternal reality of God, then all we're left with is a relativism that's emotional in response and illogical as far as reason, that you can't come to a conclusion or a progress. And yeah. So how does the gospel move us forward in race issues, Radon?
Oh, easy. This is the truth. What happened with George Floyd was wrong. We can all agree on that, what that cop did. But when I look at that picture, a lot of people ain't going to agree with me when I say this, but I have to say that. When I look at that picture, I have been that cop. If we're honest with us, and I'm going to explain it, hear me out. When I say we're that cop, we've all sinned like that in some way, shape, or form. And so throughout humanity, no matter what level of hierarchical structure you own, we are the cop. We have that one thing in common, and we all need salvation. We all need justification. We all need grace. We all need mercy. Mm. And what I'm saying is that in the gospel, Jesus his ultimate justice was by taking on what we deserve. And as a community, a body of believers from different cultures, different backgrounds, we have to become Jesus in that way. But we take on the same justice that he did. And that means that we are, we're speaking truth when it's time to speak truth, and we're standing up for when things are wrong. But at the same time, we're calling everybody to the cross to receive that same justice. Because outside and apart from Jesus's justice, we left on our own before God.
So here we're in a situation of injustice.
Yes.
And so how can there be, what I hear on, I'm talking through the narrative of media, and I think, you know, you get it from your side, I get it from my side, the people we're dealing with and all that kind of stuff. When you're dealing with injustice, how does that play into a reconciliation for what has just happened? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do we reconcile whites versus black, cops versus African-American community versus whites, and then the divisions that we have and the opinions and the statistics, and they go on and on and on and on and on and on. The Republican versus the Democrat, a libertarian view, blah. You know what I mean? It's like it never goes in. How do we navigate that as Christians?
The gospel calls all of us to the table. So we need to have a meal with each other and talk. Like, it's not that hard. Like, the gospel calls me to all people. The kingdom of God calls me to be with people from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I can sit down and have a B-dubs, man, you know?
Yeah.
we can have a meal together. We might not come to the same conclusions, but the gospel, that's justice, man.
So are you saying that there's a lot of talking at people instead of talking with each other?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, that's literally what I'm saying. It's like we're talking at each other, but we need to talk to each other. And I would even go as far as to say, like, the stats are true and the stories are true. And there's a place in the middle where we can be.
That's a great point, man. You know, like, you can have a statistical analysis of the white and African-American community and those stats be true and not favor our opinion. But yet, what they're saying is still true.
Yes.
And it's not one or the other. You get what I'm saying? It could be both.
So, you know, John, me and you, we've talked, and you heard me, right? But the stats sometimes, what they do is that they pull us back so that we can see the full view picture, mm-hmm. so that my story doesn't blind everything else going on. Does that make sense? So if I mean, let's say I have some run in with some policemen. But if I pull back and look at the stats and have a bigger view, I can see the whole story is like, yeah, those cops were bad. And there are some injustices in our system that need to be corrected. But it's not happening all the time. And not only that, but things are getting better. And we can look at that stuff and have hope. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's where the conversations, humble kingdom conversations come in, is that, John, you can help me see a wider view of truth, but I can help you see the truth that's going on in my life. And yeah. I can leave with your heart and understanding, and I can, with a gospel lens, like, no, Jesus is the better way. But you can also leave and saying, okay, now I can start praying into those things and listening to the Holy Spirit on what some things I can do to help my brother in Christ grow and help him if I ever see those things myself.
And so let me ask you this question. What, during this time,
yeah,
what has been the most helpful advice that you'd want to pass on? And then I'm going to follow up with a question.
Okay. Jesus is a God of justice, and he's going to bring justice out of the situation. But Jesus is also calling us to all come to the kingdom of God. And it's there where we can have our voices heard, but it's there where true reconciliation can happen. Because the reconciliation that happened between us and Jesus, we now can have with each other. Whether that's me and the policeman, whether that's me and you, me and whoever, is because Jesus is the one that's bringing a reconciliation in all of us. Now, that don't mean that the stuff that happened is wrong and that we ain't looking for justice. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that we can have justice without separation. And that's what I'm seeing the most. And I don't think that's God.
So in this time, I'm going to follow up. That was some good advice. What is the absolute worst thing that probably drives you nuts that you keep seeing repeated about this situation? If you were honest, if we were off mic and you were really going to tell me, like I'm saying, say it on mic.
Oh, okay. I'm tired of Christians always running into their corners.
Explain it.
If you're conservative leaning, if you're liberal leaning, these situations, instead of crisis unifying us, it always runs us back to what we think is the best. And in our own minds. And I think that's wrong. We stop, like, this ain't minuscule what happened. That's not what I'm saying. But our thought processes are. Mm-hmm. And we stop loving each other, man. Like, excuse me. I'm about to cut.
I'm like,
how in the hell do we, like, preach the gospel to the world when we more divided than the rest of humanity? Like, we're no different. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand we sin to save by grace, but... like, I'm learning, I've seen friends post crazy stuff, off-kilter stuff, and then when I, message them in a personal conversation, what they come off as is not what they come off as. They, cool people, and they lovable.
And they don't know how to form a sentence that makes sense and how they really... Yeah. The problem with social media is tone. Like, you don't know where that's coming from, and you can read is what it is, right? I made that mistake before, all of us have. But that's problem. So it says, if you have a problem with your brother, go to your brother. Do not write him an email or post something on Facebook,
Yeah. And I mean, if we're going to post something on Facebook, do something that's going to be unifying. Ask a question and let people talk. Use your platform for conversation, not for division. And that's one of the fruits of the flesh.
Yeah.
That we don't talk about a lot. And that's
Ephesians chapter 4 really talks about the body of Christ. And it really breaks down things. And it's sad to me. This is one of the upsetting things about to me. And I always relate things back to church, not because I'm mad at church, not because I hate church, but because I love the church and we can do better.
Yeah.
And when we run things through hierarchical structures and we don't allow people to flow through the apest gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, which are just nothing more than what people are and how God created them to be, then we're not lifting each other up and we're not lifting towards each other. We're not maturing towards Christ-likeness, and we get swept away by the doctrines of this world. And that's what I see happening. If I'm reading what you're saying a lot, is that we start off from this place about, I don't think we're starting from there. We're starting like Democrat, Republican, and then, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian too. And you know what I mean? But we've already spoke it, said it, done it, had our opinion, our thoughts, our feelings. And then we don't know how to navigate that way back to the real transformational unity that God's calling for in Ephesians chapter 4. Those things are given to us so we can have unity in the body, unity, yeah. And show the world what God's kingdom is like.
Look, I'm going to say this to your listeners, man. The kingdom of God and the church is the only entity in the world that will bring true, diverse unity. Because, and I mean, you used to show me this all the time, we become what we worship. And what I'm learning is that if we don't have those things at the foot of the cross, and if we're not bowing our knee to Christ in all our circumstances, what will happen is we will worship, I'm going to say, even my race, if I don't run it through the cross of Christ, if I run it through the kingdom lens, my political ideology, Donald Trump,
sorry about that.
Sorry. Biden. If we worshiping those people, man, we're going to become them. And so we have to come to the... Jesus is like, all y'all idiots is wrong. All y'all flawed. All y'all messed up. And he like, man, you better come sit at this table so you can really learn and really grow. Like,
yeah, and I really wish this next generation, including myself, and I'm talking whether you're white, black, purple, green, big, small, whatever, is would get back to the person who did that in this area, which is MLK.
Yeah.
Took those truths, just like Jesus, and put boots to the ground and held all of us, including himself, to those, I hate to even say stand, those graces, those truths of freedom that God gives us. And the more we rally around the eternal things that he brought present in the middle of just a crazy crisis, much like today, the more they stepped forward again. Now, it cost them. It cost them like it cost Christ his life, but that's what made it powerful. Easy for me to say on, you know, all these years away from it, 40 years away from it. But what an example for us all.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this, man, like, no, I don't mean that. I mean, like, don't ever say, well, we're 40 years away from Dr. King. There's another enemy that's on the horizon in our political, in our ideology of the world. It's a relativism, well, while sacrificing your core beliefs and your core values as who you are.
Mm.
What do I mean? I have to accept you and everything you believe. But if I disagree with you in any area, then you don't love me. So therefore you're a bigot. How wrong is that? In the kingdom of God, Jesus is like, you can have your opinions, you can have what you think, but understand, when you sit at this table, I'm the one who's telling you what to do. I'm the one telling you to love your brother, even if he's your enemy.
Right.
And I would say it's harder today than it was in MLK's time, because at least you knew who was for you and who was against you. Now it's kind of like we put on the mask of like kumbaya. And if you disagree, then we're going to have some fight. And that shouldn't be like, that's emotional health. That's another thing that comes into it too. And so, like, I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's harder today, bro, and to keep the bond, the unity, because it's false unity going on.
And yeah,
that's wrong.
Great, great point, man. Wow.
Yeah, like, we've disagreed, but heck, we even yelled at each other. But understand, I'm still coming back to that office the next day, and we praying together. We, you know, because we're able to do that, because we understand that Jesus is the one calling us to be who, you know, to be his boys.
I would even say because of Jesus, and mm-hmm. we both believe in those truths, those realities, it's if we do disagree, that's the reason we come together, even when we haven't fully agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It still makes us love each other and be friends. And I think that, like, I mean, some points that I'm just recapping with you is, you know, the ability to have those truths above us so that we can have a good conversation in love and pull up a table, which just literally means to disciple each other and show each other his heart, being willing to not show our hurt, or maybe throw our hurt out there with our heart, but be willing to put it on the table, really can lead to progress, really yeah. can lead to actionable things that we can do.
Yeah.
What are some things that you'd like to see, things that you'd like to see be done about what's going on right now? Hi guys, this is John Pappas with Table Talk. I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you'd like to hear the rest of this amazing interview with Radon Haskins, will you do us a favor and go to YouTube right now and subscribe? Just look up Inference Swap. There you'll get the remainder of this great interview and the things that we're going to talk about and the answer to the question which we interrupted. We hope that you've been enjoying the content that we've been bringing, and we're just asking you to help build up the channel, to keep the content flowing, to help us as we give you content weekly. So do us a favor, go to YouTube, look up Inference Swap, one word, and subscribe to that channel, and you will get the rest of this amazing interview with Radon Haskins. We love you and thank you so much, guys. I hope this has blessed you. All the gospel truth that he has given us and has given our community for us to think about race and the gospel. Thanks so much, and I hope to see you over at the YouTube channel at Inference Swap.